too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. I got a lot going on today, believe me. First of all, I'm going to do some weather. Then I'm going to do the Lipscomb dealer, auto dealership's ag update pretty quick. Then Spencer Smith's in here, and it's probably going to be the last time I get Spencer in here because some reason or another, he's got to go use his own planter instead of talking about everybody else's. And then coming up at half past the hour, last two segments, I'm going to have Naylor, or Kenny Naylor, in here from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. He is the consumer, I think he's the head of the Consumer Protection Services. Anyway, we're going to be talking about noxious weeds, the laws of them, containment of them. We're even going to talk about some eastern red cedar. So anyway, big day. If I sound kind of groggy today, I apologize. We got half of the peanuts planted last night at my house, and I went on hog duty at 1:30, 3:30, and 5:30. Them SOBs ain't going to get my peanuts. That's all I can tell you. Sorry. I was politically correct with my French. But anyway, me and the dogs, we were out hog hunting all night. So anyway, all right, let's check out some temperatures real quick. 77 degrees at Altus. That's 2 days in a row, Altus. She's a hot spot in the state, but not far behind is Hollis at 76. Arnett, 71. 72 at Alva, out here in the panhandle of Texas, 70 at Lipscomb, 70 at McLean, 73 at Wellington, 76 at Odell. I'll take days like today over yesterday, any day. Oh, speaking of Arnett, thank you to all the listeners that blew up Lori Campbell's phone yesterday for her birthday. She was out in the middle of the pasture, she said, on her horse, I think, and doing cattle things, and her phone started blowing up. So anyway, it worked. I love it. So anyway, all right, let's do the Lipscomb Auto Group, the dealership's ag market update. Corn right now for July is 461, up 3.5. September's 471, up 2.5. Soybeans for July, 1248, up 12. August, 1245, up 11.5. Soybean meal for July, 375.10, up 280. August is 370.70, up 210. Soybean oil for July, 46.58, up 77. Hard red winter wheat, July, 703, up 2. September, 717, up 1.25. Cotton's even up today, a lot actually. July, 79.38, up 3. October, 78.24, up 216. Oil out in West Texas, 78.30, down 36 cents. And natural gas is up today. June is 277. Live cattle for June, 183.90, up 92. August, 181.37, up 95. Feeder cattle, feeder cattle for May, 250.12, up 117. August, 262.40, up 257. Lean hogs for June are down 95.35. Down 105. All right, in the studio with me from 4AG is Mr. Spencer Smith.
I'm here. I made it.
You made it.
You're apologize. Good. I skipped last week. I apologize for that.
That's all right. Sometimes when you get older, you start forgetting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
you forgot you got a pair.
I got to have your reminder every day, you know.
So anyway, dude, the planters are rolling.
It is. We started yesterday. You know, the soil temperature's looking pretty good. 2 inches, you're about 71 degrees. So we decided to go ahead and pull the trigger and get started.
Right.
You know, and
is it planting good?
Yeah, it's planting real good. I had to wait. You know, with us, we're all no-till, you know. And
right.
I do run a culture out front on my stuff. But we did have to wait just a little bit longer in the morning, let that straw, you know, dry out. So that way we weren't hairpinning. you know, we don't want a hairpin, you know, down in that seed trench with the seed. So,
well, tell everybody what hairpinning is.
So, like, hairpinning is where your coulter or your seed disc doesn't actually cut the trash. And what it'll do is it just basically runs over that trash and just pushes it down in the seed trench with your seed. So now you got straw and debris in your seed trench. It might be next to your seed, so now you're not having good seed to soil contact.
Right, I got you.
So, you know, you're going to have inconsistent germination or skips or whatever in your field. So
I got you. Well, there's one of my friends is helping me plant my peanuts over there, and he's got a set of your closing wheels.
He does.
And I showed him, showed Spencer a picture of right, what it was right behind the planter. It looks good.
Yeah,
that's strictly no-till. That's
strictly no-till. It looked good. And he's been thinking about buying our closing wheels for a while. And this year he called me and he's like, I'm going to do it. And I said, all right. So I had some for him. And so I think, as far as I know, I guess he's happy with them. So, I mean, from the pictures you showed me, it looked good.
Yeah, it looked really good because there's even some corn stover in that field that he's in right now, still left from last year. And a lot of, I mean, there's no way I'm pulling a plow in that place or, you know, anything.
No.
There's not, it ain't going to happen. But man, since I switched over to, doing that, you know, my fertilizer bills come down and the ground. And you know, it kind of gets rough when the badgers get out there. The hogs want to go out there and make a wallow. But, you know, that no-till drill that I got, it pretty much levels stuff down in front of it when you got enough pressure.
You got enough pressure, you can take care of it for sure. So,
Well, everybody's playing right now. Not everybody, but a lot of people are rolling. I'd say they're over half done with peanuts and just getting fired up with the cotton. What are the things that some of the guys can look out for on their planters while they're planting and they get farther in there?
Yeah, so, you know, multiple things. You know, like we've talked about air pressure on our tires, whether it be the tires on the planter or, you know, like your drive tires or just the tires on the tractor. And that's something that plays a big part. And, you know, yesterday we had a sensor that was acting up in our seed tube, and you know, it's always handy to have a brush with like with a long wire so you can run it up that seed tube and maybe clean, you know, a spider web might have built up on that sensor or, you know, something just to make sure that seed tube's clean. And a lot of the time it's just something, some dust build up on the sensor. It's not actually the sensor that went out.
So. Right. So just little things like that. And Liz, we were talking about when we moved from down there up to my place yesterday, he stopped and he, you know, took that, the seed tube, took that deal off there and trash had built up in there and just blow it out.
Yep.
And took that brush with a wire like he was talking about it, and cleaned that tube out in the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, if there's trash that builds up in there, you know, that's going to cause that seed to hit it. You know, like, you know, with that seed disc spinning, you know, so it's like a timing. So you want all those seeds to just fall perfect, you know, to where your spacing is perfect as you can get it. And, you know, if you got some trash in there or anything, if it ricochets or bounces, causes it to
skip,
bounce in the seed tube, now you're going to have two seeds real close together
and
have a skip over there. So, you know, it's really important to make sure you have a clear fall and let gravity do its thing to take it all the way to the ground.
Right.
Hey, and I'll tell you one other thing. You know, we've been going over several things, you know, getting our planters ready. And, you know, we've worked our way back from the tractor all the way to the back end of the planter now. And, you know, we were talking about closing wheels. That's a really important part of the planter, because you're sealing that trench for that plant to come up through. You know, you want to make sure you don't have too much pressure, but you want to make sure you have just enough to where you're actually getting a good close on the trench. And, you know, and throughout all the different type of, you know, soil types, you know, there's not one closing wheel that fits every situation.
Right.
You know, there's many out there to choose from, you know, like in a sandier soil. So like our closing wheel is more of a, it's for more of like a, it's a less aggressive, it's for like a sandier soil, so that way you don't happen to flick a seed out of the trench or anything.
I can see that happening pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, if you get something that's got a little more of an aggressive point on there, when you're going through the field, you know, at say 6 mile an hour, it could actually maybe walk over just a little bit and cause inflict that seed out on top of the ground. And, you know, and when you figure that on, say, a 6-row planter, 12-row planter, or whatever it is, throughout a 160-acre farm,
that's a lot of seeds.
That's a high percentage of seeds that's on top of the ground instead of where they need to be.
Right.
So on that closing wheels, like on that bracket, it has some bushings back there for adjustment. It's really important to make sure that the where your closing wheels are basically meeting, that is centered right under your seat, right under your seed disc openers.
Okay.
Because that they can actually kind of get scooted over to where you're not actually closing on top of like where it's supposed to be. So, are you kind of following?
I'm with you.
Like, you know, like one of these wheels could actually be on top of the seed trench, whereas
instead of beside it, like it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, and because you really want it to be right on each side of that seed trench, and it's just right in the middle. And you know, throughout the the acres that you plant, you know, those brackets will start to get wore out. So it's real important to check those and make sure you're not, and because that could cause a seed flicking effect also.
Yeah, when you're, how often should you really get serious about checking all this, ever
no,
acres?
No, I think that's a yearly inspection on those.
Okay.
You know, that's something why you got it in the barn, you know, just set it down, you know, like, you know, put an eye on it and just make sure that it's pretty close to being in the center there.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, once you put an eye on it at the first of the season and, you know, you go through like your planter checklist, you should be, you know, you should be pretty much good for once you get past the first couple of days of planting, you're usually good until the end.
Right. Unless something was semi wore out when you started.
Yeah.
You didn't
yeah.
take the time to fix
yeah,
it.
Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And then it'll catch up with you. It'll catch up with you.
Well, I got a little funny story. So anyway, you know way more about planters than I do. I guess some of these planters, when they fold up, what becomes open there? The suction.
So some of them, yeah. So some of them, it'd be your fan suction tube,
right?
Is that what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, that's
like,
what
it'll about. It'll come like exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you keep stuff out of there.
Yeah. Well, that's the story I'm going to tell you. I'm not sure yet, 100%, if I'm going to mention his name. He's from Ouachita County, though. Anyway, he got out there to the field. Mr. Wanted to be the first one planting cotton in Ouachita County. Well, he had some, maybe a little bit of a rat's nest or a bird's nest in there. So somebody didn't follow your instructions about checking all this stuff before you go to the field.
That happened recently?
About 3 days ago.
Did it? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's another good thing, too, you know, like, which we keep our planters inside, but, you know, keep plenty of rat poison out, you know, because there's starting to be so much electronics on them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it'd be a nightmare, you know, if a rat built a nest up there by that control box or something, you know.
I just can't imagine what you guys go through that got all that major electronics, like
the cotton harvester.
The cotton harvester.
Yep.
I just can't imagine what you guys have to do to keep them. Well, he knew I was talking about it. He told me to kiss his whatever. Hey, I didn't even mention your name yet, Cotton King. Anyway, so I can't imagine what's going on with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to these. And, you know, and so I'll tell you, one thing that I noticed on my planter was I noticed my chain, like on my hydraulic drive, the chain was hopping
Kay.
A little bit. And I did have a row that wasn't planting. And it took a minute to figure it out. But what had happened is on the side of that box, a bearing had went out inside of the row clutch,
Kay.
Which is the clutch like next to your seed meter.
Right.
And a bearing had went out in there and locked that up. And it actually, and then when that happened, it actually locked up like the little, like a gearbox for the shaft that spins. and transfers the shaft power into the cable power, which powers the meter. Well, what had happened was, so then it messed up those gears and that, because there was nothing to give. And so, you know, that's something to watch too. That chain on your hydraulic drives or your transmissions, that's going to tell you it. I mean, it definitely told, you know, told us. It took a minute to figure it out, but it definitely told us something
was wrong.
It told the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break real quick and come back. We'll finish up with you. We got a few minutes left here. We're going to go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch hour break. When we come back, we'll finish up with Spencer, and I'll have your Texas Panhandle Agriculture update.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside, and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance, is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Everyone loves watching their kids play sports, and you're going to love it even more when you see it with an LED video wall from Video Reality. Video Reality LED walls bring the game to life. Your stadium will be the envy of the conference when they see the game on a whole new level. Go big and light up game night with a custom-built LED wall from Video Reality. And just like you, Video Reality calls Oklahoma home. Video Reality, your trusted local audio-video partner. Learn more at videoreality.com.
Sugar Creek Casino presents. They have the glamour plus the grit. Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan together live Saturday, June 1st. Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
Go away, no wait a minute.
Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at sugarcreekcasino.com.
Shake the sugar tree.
Don't miss Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan live at Sugar Creek Casino.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. At Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May the 17th. 1,139 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 490 brought 312. 3 at 532 brought 308. 9 at 596 brought 287. 16 at 723 brought 260. 5 at 753 brought 248. 7 at 1214 brought 170. 6 head of heifers at 399 brought 297.50. 4 at 426 brought 296. 6 at 508 brought 276. 8 at 516 brought 285. 13 at 695 brought 240. 8 at 826 brought 218. 24 at 933 brought 197. Butcher cows were 103 to 149. Butcher bulls brought 30 to 171. Bred cows were 1150 to 2300. Pairs brought 1600 to 2775. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back out here in the Panhandle of Texas. Odell, well, actually, you're not in the Panhandle. South of the River Bridge, Red River Bridge down there. All right, let me get back to that. Odell, 77 degrees, humidity is 52, dew point's 57, the winds are out of the northeast, 24 miles an hour, gust 30, 2.02 inches of rain so far this month, and 8-inch soil temperature, 79 degrees. Got a text in on the text line here. The combines are rolling at El Dorado. And what else is going on? Frederick, combines are rolling through there. Combines are rolling at Hobart. And combines are rolling at Delhi. So anyway, if you guys got something else rolling somewhere, let me know on the text line, 580-225-9697. Also, get your questions ready for the Department of Ag, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. We're going to be talking about weeds, not the kind you smoke either. So anyway, you can smoke them, but with a chemical. But anyway, we'll be talking about that. If you got some questions for him, be thinking about it. We're going to finish up our annual spring talk with Spencer about getting your planter ready. So we've covered quite a bit on the...
Man, we have.
It would cover quite a bit on the planters, and you know, nothing glorious. It's just pretty simple. But anyway, so what do guys need to do when they get done with their planters and not wait till they need to next year when they need it? What do they need to do?
Yeah, so when they get done, just, you know, I like to just kind of put an eye on everything and just kind of go ahead and have an updated plan to where, like, hey, if I'm going to need some new seed disc openers or, you know, something coming into the next year, whether it be culture blades or row cleaners or, you know, just something like that. That way, you know, a lot of these manufacturers will put sales on at some point in time, you know, and if you might be able to get a better deal on them, you know, just something to keep in your mind from now until next year's right. plan.
If you need to get stuff.
Yeah, if you need something.
You don't have to do it now, but at least get some stuff bought.
And it never hurts to, you know, if COVID taught us anything, you know, it was to try to keep some stuff on hand,
right?
Because you know it got pretty hard to get a hold of, you know, some stuff there when we was going through all that. So I like to try to keep at least some stuff that I, you know, that I can in, you know, there at the barn. So
right. So does any of the stuff you manufacture, does it work on no-till drills?
So on no-till drills, be like your gate on it'd be the your ones gauge, that have the gauge wheels.
Right.
Yeah. Not on the closing wheels. We don't manufacture a closing wheel yet for a no-till drill.
Are you thinking about it?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
I know a guy that's got one.
I've been thinking about it, you know. it's one of those deals, you know, we keep growing north. You know, that's a whole another market up there with air drills and stuff. So,
right.
You know, as we keep growing towards that direction and visiting with more, you know, building that customer base and relationship with guys, I could see us, you know, eventually getting into the.
So in all your adventures you've had with this deal, on your closing wheels and all this stuff here, what sticks out in your mind, maybe not here, but in another state or another part of Oklahoma? Is there anything crazy difference between growing cotton here, say Arkansas? Is it all the same?
Oh, no, those guys. So I wouldn't know how to farm in Arkansas. Like those guys down there, you know, they're doing like, what do you call it? Where they lay all the white pipe out, you know, and they flood the rows.
Right.
And then not only that, but they're battling insects.
Right.
That is their major deal, you know, which up here, like, I mean, we don't have that trouble, you know. You know, so, yeah, it's pretty interesting there in Arkansas about how they farm.
Right.
And they, you know, they're set up for that, you know, for those type of operations, too.
Yeah, because it's wet country down there anyway.
It is wet. Yeah.
And they might be hilly and trees and stuff like that, but
and there's some big farms in those trees. Like when those trees open up, you know, there may be a 1,000-acre field there that you just wouldn't even know it.
Right.
You know.
No elm trees, maybe?
You know. So, a little bigger than an elm tree.
But
yeah.
Tell everybody, I know you're getting ready to get super busy, but if anybody needs any help with like closing wheels and all that stuff.
Yeah, holler at us. Yeah, if you need any gauge wheels or closing wheels, just give us a call at 580-303-0715 and just holler at us and we can get you fixed up. We pretty much have everything in stock now. We're setting pretty good, so yeah.
Well, you got 50,000 acres of cotton to go yet since you just started yesterday. Yeah. Anyway,
right.
your wedding's coming up in a month.
Hey, 30 days away, man.
And then
30 days
you're
away.
In the middle of that crap when you're planning and all that other good stuff. So
yeah, there's a lot going on right now, you know, and we're excited.
I know.
Have you got Sydney? Have you
no, she hasn't come on yet, but she's coming.
You have to bug her and get.
Oh, I am. I got her phone number now.
Yeah, don't give that out. Don't give that one out on there.
No, I won't. But no, I got her phone number now. Messenger's out. Phone number, texting's in. But anyway, now we'll get her on here because there's so many interesting things going on with like property lines. If the fence has been in the there for 30 years and you get it surveyed and it's way off. What do? You know, this guy over here is wanting his land back, but this person over here is like, huh?
Yeah, the fence has been there.
Fence been there, and possession's 90% of the law. Kind of, that's one stuff. You know, I'll get Sydney on here. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. And you know, she's been doing a lot of that there. You know, with Christensen Law, and it's been good. So
yeah, can't wait to get her on there. Well, good luck with your cotton planting.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a million for coming by here this spring. Get everybody fired up about working on their deal, and we'll get the cotton king to learn how to use duct tape. Maybe plug some holes up.
Plug those holes. Yeah, yeah. You know, and hey, that's another thing too to keep in mind. Like if you're planting humidity, you know, that vacuum on that fan, all that air is coming from. You know that. So you can if it's really humid, you know you. I've never ran into any problems personally, but you know, if you're pulling all that moisture and humidity into your seed boxes,
right?
You know, that's something to take in consideration too. Especially if you're running a treatment or something, you know, I could see it building up in there.
Okay, cool. See there, figured something out right at the last second.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe at the fall we could come in and maybe get the cotton strippers ready, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. All right, thanks, Spencer.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy.
We're going to take a Taylor Ranch break, and I'll be right back here with Kenny Naylor, be on here from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
From the classroom to the field, Elk City High School students are igniting sparks of brilliance, fueling the fire of progress in every endeavor they pursue. Whether it's breaking records in the academics or dominating the field, these students are the driving force behind Elk City's dynamic spirit. GAS is fully committed to supporting and fostering the spirit of innovation because in Elk City, it's not just about moving forward, it's about racing ahead. That's why we're...
Oh, yes!
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities and the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Are you looking to give your livestock the best nutrition possible? Well, head on over to the Sayre Farmers Co-op. Sayre Co-op is an authorized quality liquid feeds dealer. They handle a variety of QLF Ignite protein and mineral tubs, along with their Pasture Select 20-5 and 35-5 liquid feed. Short on time, the Sayre Co-op will supply, deliver, and fill your liquid feed tank for you so that you don't have to. Don't put it off. Head on over to the Sayre Co-op at 109 South 6th Street in Sayre or give them a call at 928-2664.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Before Kenny Naylor comes on here from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, let me give you your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Sorry, I was doing other things here, but it doesn't take me long. Let's go with Buffalo. Buffalo, Oklahoma, currently at 71, dew point's 44, humidity's 37, the winds are out of the northeast at 5. 1.72 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 77 degrees, sunset at 8:45, sunny and 79 today, night mostly clear, 55 tomorrow, 89, and a 20% chance of rain. Well, on the phone with me right now from Gesson, Oklahoma City is Mr. Kenny Naylor. He is with the Consumer Protection Services at the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and whatever else they got going on in that title there. But anyway, he's all about ag, though, aren't you, Kenny?
Yes, I am.
Anyway, well, thanks a million for coming on the show today. I get a lot of questions about chemicals and weeds and stuff like that, and in the last couple of weeks it's just blowed up here on the studio about noxious weeds. And let's start out with talking about them. Let's start out first of what's the main threats, what main weeds are the threats in Oklahoma?
Okay, well, in our noxious weed law they have three that are listed: musk thistle, scotch thistle, and Canada thistle.
Okay.
And so those are the three that at least we cover underneath that.
Okay. And I told you when I called you all ago, I had a couple of them actually turned around between the Russian and the, because the Canadian thistles also consider, what do they call the creeping thistle, is that correct?
That might be. I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah.
But we do have some native thistles that aren't as, you know, prolific as these are anyway.
Right. But this year, I noticed I went down in my pasture, my landlord's pasture there here last week and sprayed some. And back in 2019, which was a really super wet year for a lot of Oklahoma, the river got out twice down there, and it brought some via water through there. And he had a thistle here and there, but these things are like ticks on a deer. I mean, they're coming up everywhere, and it'll probably be a while before we can get them under control.
You definitely need a management plan.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of times when people notice them is when they're headed out, and that's already too late. I mean, you know, you're already headed for seed production. Not saying that, you know, you can't do some hand control or mechanical control at that point, but to really be able to be effective with pesticides, you need to catch them in that, you know, rosette stage and stuff.
Right. I've seen guys out there with scissors cutting them off, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a couple of hay meadows myself, and in one of them last year I had 14, and that I went out and hand pulled, and the other one I probably had about 30 or 40 that I went out and pulled them all by hand.
Right.
I'm hoping I don't have that this year, but who knows.
Yeah, and we, we've had a, except for a couple months there, we've had, we got good sub-moisture right now. So there's probably all kinds of things coming that will be coming up this year, if they haven't already, that we haven't seen in a while, because we haven't had good subsoil moisture like this in quite a while. But so out of the three, the musk, the Canadian, and what was the other one, Russian?
Scotch.
What is the... Is one of them worse than the other?
They're all pretty bad. I mean, they're all, the big problem you have with them is they're all prolific seed producers. And so, once you have a couple of them and they head out and they release all that seed, you end up with, hundreds and hundreds more the next year. And same way with your neighbor. And so, they just keep building every year, and they're really sticky and thorny, and animals don't like being around them, and all that stuff kind of, just helps them proliferate themselves.
Okay. All right. So let's kind of get into the law part of it. Of course, they're noxious weeds. So anyway, what's the general rule for the law? Obviously, a landowner takes care of his, supposed to take care of his, the right-of-ways, county highways, the whole nine yards. Who's enforcing this, or who's in charge of doing this? Is that you guys?
That is us. And so, every year we get a certain number of complaints from neighbors who've got either a neighbor right-of-way or whatever it may be, abandoned property in some cases, that have thistle growing, and so we follow up with that. Our follow up, or at least the way we try to do that, is find out what they're going to do. What's your short term plan? How are you going to control the plants that you have now? And then we also require and ask of them, what's your long term plan? Because obviously you've had seed production to get to this point. What are you going to do about it next year? And so on and so forth.
Right.
And so there's a wide array of there. OSU used to do these like weevil collections for thistle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some areas of the state, even though you see the weevil or the thistle out there growing, they have a pretty vibrant weevil population. And if you go out there and you pop open those heads, you'll find out that they've eaten all the seeds and stuff in the head. So there's even biological controls is what I'm getting at.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, because like I use, in my garden, I use ladybugs for aphids and stuff like that. So it makes sense. And so anyway, so what happens, I guess, if these weevil, what kind of weevil is it? Do you know?
I think it is a thistle weevil, but I would have to look that one up.
Okay. No big deal. But, so yeah. I guess they grind it up, so it ain't going to be a seed no more.
Yeah, when they get done with it, there ain't nothing there but mush. And so if you, obviously sometimes you still have to treat because you don't have enough of them.
Right.
But in some cases, the landowner has enough of them and they don't need to treat.
I got you. So people call in or get, they can also file a complaint online too, right?
Correct.
Okay, so people call in and or file one online. One of the questions that I have on the text line here is, if a call is received, will anything be done to remove the problem plants? And that was the question.
Okay, well, like I said, the first thing we try to do is we'll contact the landowner. And sometimes, like I said, that may take us a while just because we do have some absentee landowners here in Oklahoma.
Right.
And then what we expect of them, like I said, is a short-term plan. What are you going to do with what you have now? Is that going to be a mechanical control, or are you going to go hand harvest it? What is that? And then In addition to that, we expect them to follow up with a long-term plan. You know, are you going to do chemical treatments? Are you going to, you know, try to mow to keep it down in the future? What are you going to do?
Okay.
So those are kind of the two deals that we're looking for initially. And then we try, you know, to follow up to make sure that they're doing their long-term plan. Because really, ultimately, that's what you need. You need them to work on controlling it going forward.
I got you.
So that you're not continuing to build up that feed production base.
Well, I brought up the State Department of Agriculture, Chapter 30, I guess it must be still, or subchapter 34. It's got in here the degrees of infestation that may require treatment control or eradication, the musk, the scot, and the Canadian thistles. But in here it says light infestation says less than 2 plants. Medium is like 2 to 9 plants, and severe is 10 plants or more. Is that still in effect?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. So, do you guys ever levy any fines on anybody?
We do. We have in the past. Usually, that's not our first action. We try to let people clean it up and work. But like, if we went out there on your long-term plan and you still aren't doing anything, then that would be something where we would, you know, cite you for that, and then would submit it to our general counsel to review to see if they wanted to issue a fine.
Right. Well, when I lived in Kansas, I ran the township up there between Kansas City and Lawrence, the Eudora Township, and it's a whole different ball game up there from what I used to up there. So the townships actually do their road maintenance and stuff in their townships. It's not the county. The county, they take care of the bridges and the blacktop roads, and they also have a weed guy. Well, long story short, I hadn't been there but about 4 or 5 months, and it was during the summer, and I get this letter from the Douglas County noxious weed supervisor, and he said, you got 10 days to take care of these group of 10, I guess it was, they were all banded together if I remember right, 10 thistles that was there, and I'm pretty sure there was the Canadian thistles. And anyway, he said, you got 10 days to take care of that or fines will be levied. Well, me being like, all right, I'm doing this all by myself. I went by there and I actually checked the address he gave. And sure enough, and the bar did say it was about 10 of them. Anyway, they were getting ready to flower, and I didn't have nothing with me to take care of them. A couple days later, we got another letter with a fine. And so I learned my lesson when I got that letter. And it was like, this was back in the early 90s. It was like $250 per plant.
Yeah.
And it added up pretty quick. So anyway, they enforced it pretty good up there.
Yes. And I know they, at least from my experience, I lived in Kansas for a couple of years, they would also come out and hand harvest it for you and then charge you by the hour, which was cheap.
Yes. Yep, because that's actually what they did. They said, we got it. We got it for you, Jimmy. We got it. So, hey, Kenny, if you got time, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll finish up talking. And I'll check the text line and see if we got some more questions for you. And then if you don't mind, if we got time, I'd like to touch a little bit on the Eastern Cedars if you want to cross that path.
I should be here. I don't know if I can be a lot of help on the Eastern Cedars, but I'd be happy to try.
Okay, cool.
And
yes, sir?
Oh, I was just going to say, and if they have time, I'd like to mention about weed-free hay, too.
Okay, no, let's talk on that when we get back. Let's cover that. It's more important. Because, you know, there was a lot of hay brought into the Texas Panhandle from all over the country here, and I bet there's some stuff going on there. So,
yes.
Yep. All right. I think we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
10H Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Cross Brand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. 10H also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. 10H Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. 10H serving the area since 1926. Visit your local 10H and they'll get you all fixed up.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Galleria Furniture is having a Memorial Day Beat the Clock sale. Set your alarms for Saturday, May 25th from 10 a.m. to noon. Save 25% off everything in our showroom. That's right, everything. From noon to 2, 20% off. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., 15% off. 6 p.m. to close, 10% off. The Memorial Day Beat the Clock sale only at Galleria Furniture.
In Elk City, right next to Tractor Supply, appliances not included.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb, good people, great deals in Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see here. Let's go with Mangum for your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Mangum's 77. Dew point's 51. Humidity's 40%. Northeast winds at 26, with wind gust up to 32, 1.48 inches of rain so far this month, and 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 81 degrees, sunset at 8:39, sunny and 80 today, tonight 60, tomorrow 20% chance of severe thunderstorms, 88 for a high on Thursday. Anyway, back to the phone here, I got Mr. Kenny Naylor with the Department of Agriculture here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. I always mess that up. Anyway, I don't know why. Anyway, Kenny, thanks for joining me today. I did have a question on the text line that I might ask you real quick. And okay. It is, do you guys have anyone that goes around looking for thistles, or do they rely on reported infestations?
For the most part, we rely on reported incidents to.
Okay, good question though. And so,
yes, it is.
Yep. So anyway, well, let's talk weed and hay. How about that?
sounds good.
What have you guys, so a few years ago when we had the fire at Laverne and at Buffalo and Durham and all in that area, I hear that some of them, and up at Beaver, I hear some of the hay that was brought in up around Beaver actually brought some fire ants in, if I remember right. Do you know
that
anything on
correct.
That? Okay.
Yes, it did. And we've been, you know, monitoring that area since then, and at least our most recent sampling, I don't think they liked the cold weather, what was that, about 2 years ago, year and a half ago.
Right.
And so that definitely set them back. We'll still check this year to see, but the fire ants had come in on some peanut hay, which I think was actually came from out of state, but, you know, peanuts are a good food source for them. And so, you know, they actually moved them from a quarantine area up to that part of the world.
Okay. Yeah. Though, yeah, we don't need no more. We don't need Oklahoma with any more fire ants, because I know that I announced it probably every time hay was being brought up here over the last 3 years about, you know, there's quarantine on transporting hay out of quite a few counties actually here in Oklahoma.
Yes, there is. And, you know, we had a lot of people, you were talking about the fire earlier over in Texas and in parts of Oklahoma, and there was a lot of guys from the quarantine area that wanted to send hay. We went and inspected a lot of hay before it left. And so I appreciate all those guys, you know, going through the extra hassle of just making sure they're not moving fire ants to somebody else.
So how do you check hay for fire ants?
Well, there's several different things. One is, if you live in the quarantine, there are certain things, like any bell that's not actually set on the ground. So, like, you know, if you're setting it on cement or if you're setting it on the second layer, all that hay can be moved out of the quarantine with no problem.
Okay.
And then, you know, for other hay that would be set on the ground, at least in that case, we have to go in and inspect and see, you know, do we see ant activity? We drop bait tubes, which have essentially Frito chips and that kind of stuff in them, to see what ants we can, you know, what come into that, and see if we find fire ants.
Huh. So I guess fire ants like Fritos?
They do. They like, you know, oily stuff. I like the peanut.
I was wondering if the oil had any, yeah, like the peanut hay. Yeah, the peanut. Everything likes peanut hay. I don't know of anything that does not like peanut hay. Maybe earthworms, but they like living under them. I mean, we're talking coons, deer, rats. I'm just, man, that peanut hay, it's a popular item amongst the ant, everything, including the animals you're trying to feed. But anyways, so that's pretty interesting about those feed tubes and feed them and check them. And so far, so good up there in Beaver County and stuff.
Yes, I think, we haven't seen or found anything, and we'll continue to check just to make sure we didn't move them. We would prefer that kind of stuff not get established up there.
Okay. With the Department of Agriculture here in Oklahoma, are there any rules or regulations on selling or moving hay that might have weeds in it that doesn't need to happen? Is that what you wanted to touch on a while ago?
Actually, what I wanted to mention is we have offer whatever you want to call it there, what was called weed-free hay certification.
Okay.
And so what it is we work with an organization nationally called NASMA. And if you, like if we come out and inspect your hay and we certify it, then essentially if you took it to another state, which there's only about 30 states, then it's considered certified weed-free hay there.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, a state like, I think like Kansas and Nebraska are also part of that program. You know, it allows you to freely, you know, more freely move your hay. You can also represent it as weed-free. Another area that's kind of important in is, you know, a lot of these federal, like, highway and pipeline projects, they require that it be weed-free certified
right.
hay.
Yep.
And then anytime, you know, a lot of guys from this part of the world go hunting, like in Colorado, and they may take their mule or horse up there. So the hay that you take up to the national park also has to be weed-free certified. And so this is just, you know, something that we offer. There is a cost to it, but, you know, we go out and we inspect straw, you know, Bermuda grass, whatever that may be, and just make sure you don't have any, like your thistle, bindweed, those kind of things in the hay. And if you don't, we'll certify it. If you do, we just tell you we can.
Cool. Well, we ran out of time, and I knew I would with you, but we'll get you back on here some other time, and we'll touch on that. And Kenny, thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate it, Jim.
All right, thanks. Have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. See you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.